Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, Marcia James tells us about the growing number of international students in the United States. Also, Jonathan Evans reports with a personal touch about a recent musical performance in Washington, D.C. But first, we hear from Jerry Watson about an independent movie that tells the story of a Somali pirate.
Hollywood directors often make films about people who get persuaded to take part in a crime because they need money. There is a new look to this old story in a film called Fishing Without Nets. This time, the central character is a Somali fisherman who cannot support his family. And the crime is piracy, attacking ships on the high seas. In Fishing Without Nets, a fisherman named Abdi cannot earn enough because pollution has killed off much of the catch he needs to feed his family. Then, a friend talks to him about helping a group of pirates. The pirates capture a French oil ship and take the international crew hostage. They hope to get a huge payment when they free the crew.
I'm a fisherman.
No, you're not a fisherman. You're a pirate.
Cutter Hodierne directed the film. It is his first full-length movie. News about Somali piracy in the Indian Ocean had caught his interest. He was especially fascinated by the subject from the viewpoint of the gunman.
And I just was so intrigued by what would lead somebody to get to that point of doing something so desperate and also so kind of audacious.
In 2010, at age 24, Cutter Hodierne went to Kenya and made a shorter version of Fishing Without Nets. He used Somali refugees to play the parts. These untrained actors included day laborers, fishermen, and truck drivers. They were all living in Mombasa, Kenya, at the time.
So we would set up these informal auditions in restaurants and just like hangouts where Somalis would sit around and chew cot and drink tea, and we would audition people there.
The short film won a Sundance Festival Grand Jury Prize. At that point, Vice Media provided $2 million to finance a feature-length version of the film. It was filmed again in Mombasa with many of the same Somali non-actors. Again, they invented their own speeches. Mr. Hodierne used a translator, a language expert, to tell them only basic facts about what should happen in each scene.
So they knew what was going to happen within a scene, and then they would improvise all of the dialogue within that scene so that it was in their voice. And they are amazing at that. They add so much to it that I couldn't have written on a page. And so I considered them sort of co-writers of the movie.
Mr. Hodierne likes to describe Fishing Without Nets as an action film for theaters that show artistic films. He says the unlikely combination of suspense and reflectiveness works well. I'm Jerry Watson.
Almost 900,000 international students are studying in American colleges and universities today. Nearly half of this record number of foreign students are from Asia, mainly China. They are among people from other countries who now make up about 4% of all university students in the U.S. America has more of the world's 4.5 million international students than any other country. A new report says more than 886,000 foreign students registered at U.S. universities during the school year 2013-2014. That is an increase of 8% over the year before. The Institute of International Education and the State Department made the report. The study also demonstrates trends over the past 15 years. It shows that since 2000, the number of international students in the U.S. has grown by 72%. Students from China in undergraduate programs are mainly responsible for this trend. Eric Xu, a Chinese student at Columbia University, says studying in the U.S. is a valuable experience.
In the U.S., they emphasize on class discussion and emphasize on your opinion. You can actually debate with others and with your professor or teacher, and it's another atmosphere I want to experience.
While attendance by Chinese students rose by almost 17% over the past year, other countries also saw a major increase. Kuwait's college student population rose by 42%, and that of Brazil by 22%. Other countries with more international students than earlier are Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Venezuela. The report says the Middle East and North African area was the fastest growing in international student population. It showed an increase of 20% in students registered at colleges and universities. In Latin America and the Caribbean, there was an 8% increase. Rajika Bhandari is a writer of the report and Deputy Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Institute of International Education. She says the presence of foreign students in American schools helps the U.S. She also says about 4,000 American colleges and universities can serve more overseas students.
We know that international students contribute significantly to U.S. classrooms and campuses through their global perspectives and by providing international exposure to those American students who may never have the opportunity to study overseas.
Evan Ryan, Assistant Secretary of State for Education, says enrollment of students from abroad also adds to the U.S. economy.
This year, $27 billion was contributed to our economy at the local, state, and national levels through payments for tuition, housing, and other costs.
The U.S. State Department and the Department of Education also encourage study in other countries by American students.
We believe that study abroad can increase American competitiveness by enabling U.S. students to acquire language skills as well as the regional and global perspectives necessary to succeed in the 21st century.
About 290,000 U.S. students went to study abroad in 2012-2013 for educational credit. Europe, especially Britain, remains the number one nation for study by Americans. But the latest report shows an increase in the number of students who now choose to go to China and other nations. While American schools continue to welcome young people from all over the world, student exchanges among other countries also are on the rise. I'm Marcia James.
New Orleans is a city famous for its food, mix of cultural influences, and of course, its music. The city known as the Big Easy is the birthplace of several styles of popular American music, including jazz and ragtime. New Orleans has a long history of combining musical art forms to create something different and fun. the band Bonorama is both. The New Orleans-based group brings together funk, rock, blues, and jazz, creating a gumbo for the ears. Bonorama has horns like many local bands, but unlike most groups, the trombone players lead this band. Craig Klein and Mark Mullins are the founders of Bonorama and two of its three trombone players. Both Mr. Klein and Mr. Mullins performed as part of the brass section for another New Orleans musician, Harry Connick Jr.
I don't much care if I am the last in line.
Craig Klein says he was inspired to start the band that would become Bonorama while traveling and playing music for Harry Connick Jr.
Mark and I were on tour with Harry Connick Jr. We started playing with him in 1990. And we were in New York, and I went and saw this Cuban band had five trombones, and I just had an idea. Let's make a New Orleans band that features the trombone.
The group formed in 1998. Mark Mullins says he knew from the start that the sound of Bonorama was different.
The sound of the unit from the very beginning was obvious. That it connected with people for some reason. And I think people heard a sound when bringing these instruments together that they hadn't really heard before. In New Orleans, you hear a lot of different things. I mean, you'll hear funk bands and rock bands and, of course, brass bands. But a band of all trombones with the sousaphone and the conventional, like, funk band rhythm section was kind of different.
One special quality is that Mark Mullins sometimes makes his trombone sound like an electric guitar. He creates this effect using a guitar pedal that he connects to a microphone on his trombone. He can lift the pedal up and down to make different kinds of sounds, just like a guitar player. He says audiences enjoy hearing guitar sounds coming from a trombone. He adds that he is able to express musical ideas with the guitar pedal that may not be possible with trombone alone.
It's definitely fun to, it's like driving a different car, you know, speaking a little different language for a second there, because you can say things that you might not get away with saying quite as well without it. It gives you a different vocabulary for a minute. It's neat. But the rock stuff is fun. It transfers real well, and I think if you pick the right songs and just have fun with it and be honest with it, I think people kind of connect with that. They know if you're having fun. They know if it's kind of honest. And the sound of here, for the audience perspective, apparently it seems like they get a kick out of hearing Hendrix or Led Zeppelin through the voice of sousaphone and trombones. And it's fun for everybody.
Bonorama's latest album is called Shake It, Baby. It is the band's sixth album. But Craig Klein says the horn section has recorded music for at least 10 other musicians or groups, including R.E.M. and OK Go.
We were on R.E.M.'s record. We were on the Sierra Leone record. We did a record with some of the OK Go guys. Cowboy Mouth. Radiators. Wonderlic. Mark Stone. I guess we've probably been, as a horn section, probably about 10 different records or more.
Bonorama recently performed at the Hamilton in Washington, D.C. This reporter got to not only attend the performance, but to take the stage and play trombone with the band.